Testing, testing.
Check one, check one. All right.
All right. How are we going to start this thing?
Okay. So before we get started, we wanted to actually refer to your buddy Rod.
Rod from work.
Who questioned our thoughts on My Cousin Vinny in regards to the legal practices that were shown on film and us questioning the validity of it.
Well, rightfully so. I mean, look at the movie. Like, that's certainly not a stereotypical way to handle a court case.
So we think. I mean, what do we know? But Rod tells you.
Told me.
Via me.
And I told you.
Tells me via you. Mm-hmm. He says, I'll add that My Cousin Vinny is well regarded in U.S. legal community and was used in law schools frequently. The director has a law degree, so it was semi-authentic in his legal procedures.
Right.
So who are we? Thanks, Rod.
Thanks, Rod. It's a little clappy clappy for Rod.
Yeah.
For bringing that to our attention.
All right, let's get into it.
All right.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Good morning. And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two dads who love watching
and talking about
movies. On this podcast, we're chatting about the 1998 film, The Truman Show.
Russ has been drinking.
We have been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
That's me.
And 34 years later, we're back in the basement.
In Russ's basement, that is.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
And forget actors' names.
And most importantly, have fun. This is just another review podcast.
Yeah. I saved you from saying at the same time. You didn't like that.
No. I mean, there's a lot of corniness to this podcast. I didn't think we had to say that at the same time.
True enough. Let's not add to the corniness. Yeah. We're already at level 10 corny.
Just wait till they hear all these sound effects you've prepared for us. Right? Sean punched me in the groin, perhaps? Mm. Is it a groin punch?
That is definitely a Johnny Cage groin punch.
Johnny Cage. Hi-ya! Stay gold, Johnny Cage. Sean? In this podcast, we're talking about The Truman Show.
Ah, yes.
It was directed by Peter Weir.
I thought this was directed by Robert Zemeckis for the longest time. Probably the last, how old is it now? It's a 25-year-old movie. Probably for the last 25 years until we actually rewatched it.
Okay.
I thought this was done by Robert Zemeckis. Has a very Robert Zemeckis feel to it, no?
No?
Agree? Disagree? You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I understand.
I think the camera angles and stuff like that.
I understand Pinocchio, the 2020. Was that Pinocchio?
No. Robert Zemeckis did
Pinocchio.
No, that was Guillermo del Toro.
On Netflix. But Robert Zemeckis did a Pinocchio for the Disney Plus.
Oh.
It's terrible. he hasn't been hitting it out of the park as well as old Zemeckis used to do in the past.
So maybe thank God Peter Weir.
Yes, exactly. This. What I mean, okay, but I love Tom Hanks in the Peter Zemeckis film.
I love Tom Hanks.
I love Tom Hanks.
He loves how he runs.
In my favorite Tom Hanks film, which is the one firm. Where he's on the island. And I didn't say Tom Cruise. I said Tom Hanks.
Oh, Tom Hanks.
Why did I think Tom Cruise? He's on that one where he's like a sole survivor on an island after a plane crash. And he has a volleyball called Wilson. And his wife is played by Helen Hunt. You know the movie, right?
Castaway.
Yes, right. And Sean's on the Castaway couch right now because we're in my basement.
Casted away.
And we're talking about The Truman Show. Peter Weir, who is an Australian man.
Right.
He's done such films as Master and Commander, The Far Side
Master,
of the World.
Dude, give me your best Australian accent right now. Read these out.
Yeah, Master Commander on The Far Side of the World, Dead Poets Society, The Way Back. And the Mosquito Coast and Gallipoli. Have you ever seen Gallipoli?
No. I mean, I'm with you and your Australian roots. I'm going to just assume you nailed it on the head with that accent.
Oh, man, so good.
I thought you went a little Scottish or something at first.
Yeah, well,
there,
all my accents sound the same.
Mm.
Gallipoli.
Gallipoli. What's that about?
It's a war movie. And it's got Mel Gibson, young Mel Gibson.
Oh.
And I just remember them.
Pre-Mad Max?
Yeah.
Would it be?
I'm going to say yes, pre-Mad Max. That's my guess. And it's kind of like trench warfare. I think he's like a communicator. So he has to run from, like, in order to send messages back and forth.
He's a runner. Right.
And there's the idea of, like, if he's able to stop people from going over the edge and, like, basically running into the enemy and dying. So there's like some, I think there's a very, oops, I knocked the microphone. There's a very suspenseful moment at the end. I think I saw this maybe 30 years ago, but it's a good classic. Mel Gibson.
But you remember it being good.
I remember it being good as a young lad.
As a young Russell.
Truman Show was written by Robert Zemeckis. Just kidding. It was written by Andrew Niccol, who is a New Zealander.
Oh, a Kiwi and an Aussie coming together. It can happen.
It can happen. They finally figured it out.
They found a way to live in symbionts.
And he's also written the movie Gattaca. Do you have any recollection of Gattaca? Because I do not.
Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a small recollection of it, being that they're the two people in it.
Okay, good.
That's about it.
I think it may be a sci-fi movie that kind of bombed at the time, but it's got a little bit of a cult following now.
Yeah.
That's my Gallipoli Gattaca guess.
All right. Who's in the Truman Show?
Well, Sean, let me tell you, it stars Jim Carrey and Laura Linney and has some great supporting performances by Ed Harris, Noah Emmerich, Natasha McElhone, and Holland Taylor.
Holland Taylor. No, who did Holland Taylor play?
The mom, Angela.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which she's like she's a really well known like TV and film actor. Like you'd recognize her from other things.
Yeah, I did recognize her.
Yeah, I recognize you. This movie cost $60 million, and it made $264 million worldwide.
Pretty good.
And out of 60 million being made, how much do you think went to Jim Carrey?
It cost 60 million out of 260 million that it made.
So out of the 60 million that it cost to make the movie, how much did they have to pay Jim Carrey?
Oh, I'm gonna guess 20 million. Wasn't his salary 20 million at one point?
Yes, I think that's where, because his salary went up by 20 million to Cable Guy, I believe. And it kind of like broke the ceiling. Yeah, broke the ceiling of like what
actors,
studios would be willing to pay
an actor.
Right. And he was the guy. And
wow.
And
good
so
for him.
So if it cost 60, it really just cost $40 million to make, and then he made 20.
Right. It's $40 million, and then whatever it cost Jim.
Yes.
Right.
This is my guess. Right. Some honorable mentions here. Ed Harris was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, good for him.
Director Peter Weir was nominated as well.
Okay.
And writing Andrew Niccol was nominated as well. But you know who wasn't nominated?
Jim Carrey. But he did win the Golden Globe for it, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And he won MTV Movie Awards for Best Male Performance.
Nice. Best Male Performer. That sounds like
a porn award. The porn awards.
Porn awards. What do you think? Let's just get down to it. I think Jim was maybe robbed a little bit on this.
He should have been nominated for this. I think it was too soon though for people to take him seriously, because when you look at his like track record, this was the first like serious role.
So but that's a joke though. Look at Tom Hanks, and he got what did he do that was serious before? Philadelphia.
A League of Their Own was like, let's pay attention to this guy.
Okay.
And then...
Jeez, you already had an argument ready for that.
Well, I know this for a fact because it's burned into my brain. Because A League of Their Own was the part where they're like, you know, good movie, but did you see this Tom Hanks guy? He was really good in it.
He told these girls not to cry.
Yeah, there's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in movies.
See the Grass Cow Girls? Don't eat it. That's my John Lovitz favorite line in that movie. Is that Sling Blade?
Yeah. I don't know why I brought that up.
Potatoes.
Because I was adjusting myself mustard. Here on the couch.
Give me some mustard. Hey, boy, I love you, boy.
Well, sounds good. Crispy taters.
Mustard and gravy. Do you want to get into it?
Let's do this. Okay.
$1.7 million of you were there for his birth. 220 countries watched his first step. The world stood still for that stolen kiss. It's The Truman Show.
Created by Christoph.
Starring Truman Burbank as himself, Hannah Gill as Meryl, and Lewis Coltrane as Marlin. Truman has lived his whole life in Sea Haven.
Voted the planet's top town. The best place on Earth. I don't want to hold this anymore.
Sea Haven is an island town with an idyllic 50s motif. Truman works for the local insurance company, and his wife, Merle, played by Hannah Gill,
that crazy chick from the Ozark,
works as a nurse at the local hospital. Leading up to his 30th birthday, Truman begins to grow suspicious of the world around him after a light falls from the sky. He goes about his day, but something is nagging at him to get out of Sea Haven.
But it's such a nice place to live.
And an undying desire to visit Fiji.
Why would he want to go to Fiji?
He shares his dreams with his best friend Marlon, played by Lewis Coltrane,
who is played by Noah Emmerich,
and Merrill, but both encourage him to stay home and stick to the grind. Mm-hmm. Pay the mortgage, make quota, and babies.
Oh, yeah. Bow, bow. Chica-chica-cha.
The POV cuts outside the show and we meet two security guards.
I think they're parking attendants.
Discussing how the Truman Show never shows anything anyways.
Like the good stuff.
This section of the synopsis was brought to you by Free Range Kaiser Chicken, the chef's pal.
Dicer, grater, peeler, all in one, never needs sharpening, and dishwasher safe.
And Pen Pavel's beer.
That's a beer.
Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
What is that?
That's an antacid jingle.
An antacid jingle?
Yeah.
Like if your stomach hurts?
Yeah.
And you need like some, like you...
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Oh, great.
Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
So
Sean doesn't need a fart button because he can just make that with his mouth.
Easily. Easily. Yeah, I've got a couple, two really...
old 50s kind
of old jingles here. Okay. And I think that, that, you know, these two jingles could just about apply to any product.
Anything's a relief.
Anything's
now that
a
you've
relief.
Got the product.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was worried, but then I was saved by this product. Thanks, product.
Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
Now, try me. Give me something like something that you would eat and taste good, but it can't be a high-octane sport-fueled chewing gum.
Okay. Meatloaf?
What about meatloaf?
Well, it's just like my mama used to make it, but my wife bought it at the Save-On. We put it in the microwave for 10 seconds, and best meal I've ever had.
The taste is gonna... Yeah, I think those could apply to just about anything.
Juicy fruit?
Yeah,
there you go. Juicy fruit. That's how I describe my wife's meatloaf. Juicy fruit.
The taste is gonna move you. Yeah, which way? Right, which way is it gonna move
right
you?
Right to the.
Right to the toilet.
As we said, this I is didn't a corny.
He
podcast.
Didn't say it. I said it.
This is why we don't say just another review podcast at the same time.
Because
we like to talk about farts. And bowel movements. Did you know, Sean? Let's talk about the Truman Show.
Let's go back to the Truman Show.
Did you know that the light that falls from the sky is labeled Sirius? Is it Sirius? Nine Canis Major, which Canis. Is actually Canis.
Canis.
My canis is bleeding. Which.
See, works for everything. Keep it going. Does work for everything.
Keep going. Run it to the ground.
We only get this one podcast. Then it's gone.
And then, right, then it gets replaced by something current. So it's a real star. It's named after a real star. And it's the brightest star in the sky.
Oh. So I guess that night, that star would not exist on the Truman Show.
Right. Exactly. So it was like a star falls from heaven.
Right.
So the connection there. Smart movie, that Truman Show.
It is. There's a lot of little details all throughout this movie. Like all the little hidden cameras that are everywhere. Mm-hmm. You see all the black dots. And you're wondering like, okay, well, where are all these hidden cameras? But then go back and look at the movie.
They're there.
And look for that little black dot. They are everywhere. Oh. They're on garbage cans. It's on his ring. They're on buttons. You can see them everywhere. They're on signs. They're on every signpost.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, look for the black dot. You'll see it everywhere, and it's like a microscopic camera.
So we should say we did definitely watch this movie when it came out in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
I remember even seeing it in the theater.
I did not see it in the theater.
Oh, interesting.
No.
I'm sure I did, because there's some classic moments in the film that I remember like laughing out loud in a theater. Watching it for the first time.
And what moment was that?
Oh, do you want me to ruin it? Do you want me to just jump to it right now?
Mm. Is it nothing that we've covered so far in the first portion of? Okay, we'll save it.
No, nothing that we know. Save it. It's kind of like near the third half of the movie.
I really enjoyed this movie. I'll save my rating for the end. But I think on my first viewing way back in 1998.
How old are you? You would have been 2 years after graduation.
I guess so. I had some Jim Carrey fatigue by then.
Yeah, but don't think it was just you. I think there could have
been. So I think maybe I overlooked this a little bit at first.
I think everyone took it for granted a little bit.
And now having gone back to it in my adult, I can really appreciate his performance a lot more. That's for sure.
I would say like his career probably like had peaks and valleys, and this might have been like, because there is, you know, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective 94, The Mask 94, Dumb and Dumber 94. It's like freaking, he's amazing, who's this guy? And then, you know, Batman Forever 95, The Cable Guy 96, Liar Liar, maybe a slight slope up. And then, you know,
why did Liar Liar do so well? Like, did you, that was like one of my least favorite Jim Carrey movies.
I think maybe just the idea of
it was
Jim
just him
Carrey.
Ramping up, right?
Yeah, maybe like the, it wasn't Steve, wasn't it the one that Steve Carell was in too? Was that the really funny, like when people were kind of introduced to Steve Carell the first time because he's, or no, that's Bruce Almighty. There's one where he can play God or he has the power to you know,
do magic.
And he's like making Steve Carell like at the news anchor desk, like, and it's just basically Steve Carell, just facial expressions, just like,
I think you're getting, there's Bruce Almighty and then there's Evan Almighty, which Steve Carell is in. He's in the sequel to Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, but the bit I'm talking about, I think was from Bruce Almighty. And because it was so funny and because Steve Carell stood out so much, he got his own spinoff, which was Evan Almighty. This is my guess. I do not doubt you. I'm doing a lot of guessing today. I feel really good about movie trivia today. Like, I'm just pulling it out there.
You think you're ready to double down today or what?
I think I'm pretty hot.
I wouldn't get your hopes up too much.
Yeah. Anyways, can you think of your favorite Jim Carrey movie?
Could be this one, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
It's pretty good because I think there's a great balance between good old comedic, rubber-faced body Jim Carrey in this, and then his also ability to play a more serious role. And I think this character of Truman gives him an opportunity to play both sides of that, what he's capable of.
Yes.
You know, whereas like, you know, the Andy Kaufman one, he was very serious. The Man on the Moon one, right? And he was really serious.
Right.
And then obviously Ace Ventura and Cable Guy and all them, you know, he's just full out.
I rewatched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind recently, and that was really good.
Yeah, well, that's on my list. I'm hoping maybe you picked that one. Oh, you've watched it recently.
I watched it recently. Great. Yeah, great.
Okay, well, I'm just going to go watch it then.
Yeah, you should. Dumb and Dumber, probably... overall, to me, if you asked probably the majority of people, I bet you that would be one of his top films.
So Truman's under a microscope here. I think on my first viewing of this movie or a couple of them, or at least back in the day, you know, I thought it was very sort of lighthearted movie, and it still has a very light tone to it. But now I think on this viewing that I just had recently, knowing, I guess, the conditions and the story of the movie and everything, like it hit me a little harder, like thinking like this guy's really a prisoner, you know, unbeknownst to him, a prisoner, you know, he's a prisoner.
Yeah. Well, I think this is kind of like,
I'm starting to feel really bad for the guy upon this multiple viewing of it, because I know the cage he's in. Whereas on the first one, you know, you weren't quite privy to the story quite yet, but by this time,
like the story of the movie, you're saying.
Yeah. Like your first viewing, you maybe you don't kind of get that feeling till near the end. But having watched it already, knowing his cage, you know, you feel really bad for the guy, like right off the bat.
Right. And I think like another actor in this role, like, would have made it a lot darker.
Yeah.
I think Jim Carrey makes it lighthearted, and probably Peter Weir, like, that's why they chose Jim Carrey to do this, because if it wasn't Jim Carrey, it'd probably be pretty dark and you wouldn't actually have as much fun watching it. But it is, it's like Mrs. Doubtfire a little bit. Like, when you actually think about like what's actually happening in the story, you're like, this is like a thriller horror movie a little bit.
Like, yeah. Like, look at Mrs. Doubtfire, like how batshit crazy that dad was to do all that stuff, you know, like, to impersonate somebody else, and you know,
that's why I think the score. Yeah, that's why I think the score is so good in the Truman show too, because it actually, it gives that little bit more of that horror thriller element that's kind of happening in the background. It's not as present or you're not as conscious of it, but it's there underlying the whole story of how creepy this really
Again,
is.
Again, a good balance, right? Yes. Yeah. On the surface, it seems like kind of a lighthearted, go-lucky, aha, this guy's on a TV show. But, you know, you start breaking through all the onion layers of this movie, and it can get quite dark when you start picking it apart.
Oh. Yeah. It's cool to think about 1998 and how this kind of was at the precipice of like the reality TV. Thank you so much. The precipice of like the reality TV.
Hey, don't use it fucking twice. Okay. Once is enough.
The reality TV craze, right? So if you think about before this, there is like stuff like The Real World, which I never saw.
I don't even think Survivor was out
yet. No, Survivor started in 2000.
Yeah.
Big Brother started in 2000. The Bachelor started in 2002.
So this maybe started
but someone's there were idea. Like there were aspects. I can't remember what the show was called, but there were shows in Europe that were pretty much like a Survivor. But it was called like Robert Crusoe or something like that, a Crusoe Survivor thing. But even it was new. It was a good precipice for the American audience. But there was like stuff that was happening in Europe prior to Survivor getting started.
You remember Spike TV?
Yes.
Yes. They had a show called the Joe Schmo Show.
I made the same connection.
Okay. And it's the same thing as the Truman Show. Everybody was in on it except the one guy.
Yeah. The one reality show that I think mirrors this the best.
Yeah. And it's too bad because it was probably like one of the worst reality shows, but
I remember seeing it. I remember watching it live and loving it.
What is
at the
going
time.
On? Yeah, here. Like, I remember that soundbite. That's all I remember.
Like his, like Matt Kennedy Gould, was the character, the main guy.
Oh, you researched his name
too? Yeah, dude.
Jeez, Russ.
I know, no, because I immediately thought about like so Spike TV came out with the Joe Schmo Show in 2003. Do you know what like a major movie star is in the Joe Schmo Show.
Who was in the Joe and is like, now a movie star?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Backup. She was like one of the cast members on.
I don't.
Like,
can you give
the
me
house,
a hint?
The house. She was on Saturday Night Live.
I don't know. Kate McKinnon?
Kristen Wiig.
Are you serious?
House contestants. Yeah.
Oh, now I got to go and source the Joe Schmo Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. But so the thing that stuck out for me when I think back about Joe Schmo, so that I have a memory of watching
Joe
was
Schmo.
Everyone was represented on a plate. And so at the end of each episode, when everyone, the housemates would vote somebody off, all right, Sean, you're off. The MC would grab the plate and throw it into the fireplace and go, you are dead to us. And it was so dramatic, which was, it was very funny because you'd watch like, you know, Matt Kennedy's face and because he was such a, like an empathetic, nice guy, he was just always like, this is too much. Like this
he was
is
just rolling way with over it, though, yeah.
It's
funny. Just, he always did question it, but he was just like so kind of passive. He's like, I guess this is what it is.
Well, yeah. And I mean, and it was capturing on like the, like Survivor had come out a couple years before and everything, but pretty good. I mean, like, the only other thing I could think of that kind of represents the idea that you don't necessarily know is kind of the whole idea of like candid camera or, you know, the just for laughs kind of gags when you're like, but it's a very short lived. It's a quick like, oh yeah, by the way, you're on TV and can you sign this waiver?
Yeah. It's not an hour long worth of it. Like that's a huge ordeal to keep up the facade of this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And to think that they did it for 30 years of Truman's life, like, and that, you know, they do show little remnants of when he was a kid, he was climbing up that rock wall. He's like, Truman, don't go up there. And you can hear that there's construction going on the other side. And everyone on the beach are looking at him. Yeah. You know, like, how do you not get that feeling that everyone is looking at you? Have you heard about Truman, the Truman Show syndrome?
I want to hear it. I bet you I could guess what it is, but I'd like to
guess what that is.
Well, I guess it's the idea that
it's an actual mental illness. That
sure.
Is,
I think when you think that people are watching you and you think that there's something
you feel like you're the whole world is sort of
revolving around you.
Yeah.
It's something you tell your kids. The world does not revolve around
you.
Yeah,
like there's a giant curtain and a puppet master behind the curtain and everyone's playing a role just for you and stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah.
But don't, I think I remember as a young person thinking that sometimes.
You're not young anymore?
No, I'm 24 now. I'm 23 now, actually. 23 oh. turning 24.
Nice.
That's how math works. Yeah. Anything, I mean, we've got great performances here. Laura Linney.
Plays good crazy, eh?
Like as far as like an angry person. Like she's just
angry.
Like,
I don't know. She's just got
there's something else going always in the background.
She's got this look on her and then she can just sort of like.
Right.
Like she's very two-faced, you know? I don't know. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. She
gives complicated performances, which
very,
is
very fake.
When
she's fake. Always putting on a on
right
a, on
like
a,
there's always two levels to her performance.
Yeah, like there's a real her and then she's putting on a performance
right.
Like
she's
in
really
her
good.
Performance.
Right. Yeah, yeah she's yeah, really yeah, good yeah, and yeah, be yeah. able to deal with all these. I'm trying to think of like Mystic River because I think I'm trying
what
to think
is
of
she,
like she's I think she's Sean Penn's wife.
Wife? Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
I think
she's like an enabler in that movie.
Yeah, again, I think to your point, like I think there's an aspect of like there's her persona character and then there's the real character.
And she basically tells him to go find his daughter's killer in that movie.
Right.
Right. Like she really pokes
right.
Sean Penn.
Yes,
like,
yes,
you're,
yes.
You're kind of the boss of the neighborhood. Like you're the protector. Like I expect you to go take care of this kind of
right.
thing. Or she sort of empowers him.
Right.
Like, yeah, I am
that's
sort
the,
of
my feeling
the keeper of the neighborhood.
Well, maybe you're going to win movie trivia after that.
Maybe. Let's give me a Mystic River question.
You watched the rest of Ozarks, didn't you?
Yeah.
You watched. I think I only watched the first two seasons.
I liked how it ended.
Yeah,
it had a very Sopranos type ending to it. And I liked it.
Like they're all lost in a parkade. That was a sign. I think that was the Seinfeld ending. It wasn't
the Seinfeld ending. No. Yeah. Sopranos, they were all in a restaurant.
Right, restaurant.
And like, did a hitman just walk in? You
right.
know what? It kind of alludes to the fact that maybe they all got
they're never gonna be
smoked
safe. Right.
At the very end there.
Yeah.
That's not to say the Ozark, but it's open-ended, kind of like,
Right.
It's good, though.
Yeah.
It's good, though.
My prediction with Ozark was that the parents were going to die by the end of it, but it's good to know that maybe they didn't.
No.
Or maybe they do.
I don't know. I don't want to ruin it for
no,
you.
No, it's fine. Ed Harris is here. Obviously a
super
career.
Method actor, Ed Harris, supposedly.
Is he?
Supposedly he's just unreal, like intense guy. Like
yeah.
he is that character.
So him and Jim Carrey didn't even meet during the production of this film.
Oh yeah, I guess they never share a scene.
Right. Yeah.
Huh.
Kind of cool.
Interesting.
I
thought about that.
Noah Emmerich. No, I think Noah Emmerich or Emmerich.
I don't know.
Probably Emmerich. You pronounced Emmerich. I said Emmerich.
Sure.
Because I'm phonetically saying it.
You are a little smarter than me.
So I don't know about that. He's so good in this, and I'm trying to think of like.
I don't think what else he's in.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you listed off his movies, but I don't like, does he stand out in any other performance in any other
to
movie
me, this is the most he's ever stood out,
right.
I think, in something. And of course, this is where Natasha McLaughlin really stood out for me. Like even just like just her small part. But I remember as a young man going like, I like Natasha. She's a good presence. But she's been in a lot of amazing stuff. Ronin, Solaris, Californication. Did you watch Californication with David Duchovny? You did?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
And Brad Pitt.
No. Okay, that's the movie with the K.
Oh.
And
David Duchovny's in that movie as well.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, that's why I'm getting it mixed up.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't think I've ever seen Californication with a K.
Okay.
But Californication was I think it was like a Showtime show, which
that's why I'm getting mixed
went
up.
Went for like a number of years, and it was
that's
good.
That's a piece of trivia.
Oh, like California.
Sorry, I keep
David
interrupting
you. No, that's fine.
No.
Californication is also a Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
Is it?
Isn't it? California-cation. Under the bridge downtown.
Under the bridge downtown.
All right. Let's go to. You want to go?
Yeah.
Else?
We've been talking a lot.
Okay, here we go.
This is going to be a long one.
It's,
it's
another day in Sea Haven.
Just a real great town.
And Truman is back to his usual morning routine. until he sees a mysterious man in the street. Is it his dead dad that drowned on a sailing accident? Is it a homeless individual in need of a proper shelter? Or an actor with old age makeup?
Hmm.
Unfortunately, Truman isn't able to find out because the person is aggressively dragged away by the supporting cast.
Go, go, go!
Truman visits his mom, who dismisses the possibility of it being his real dad.
You're just and crazy.
Chalks up his experience as a sign of grieving. But Truman can't get it out of his mind, mm-hmm. just like he can't forget Lorne. Sylvia, the woman he kept running into at Sea Haven College and immediately fell for. But unfortunately, due to union rules, Sylvia is an extra and didn't have a speaking part.
We don't have money. Gave it all to Jim Carrey.
And Truman was coerced to get into a relationship with Meryl and eventually marry. But she's
just a friend.
Right. Anyways, back to Sylvia. During the one night in college that Truman speaks with Sylvia, she is quickly whisked away by an actor playing Lorne's dad,
sure.
who is allegedly allowed to speak, but improvises the line, "We're moving to Fiji."
I'm wondering if this is ever going to come back to have some relevance.
Back in the present day, the evidence continues to pile up for Truman. He starts acting spontaneous and hitting electricians on the bum with his briefcase.
I'm acting spontaneous.
He attempts to drive himself and Meryl right out of Sea Haven, but is stopped by people in hazmat suits outside the nuclear power plant.
You're welcome, Truman.
Truman confronts Meryl for the final time, and Marlon tries to take him out for one final beer in hopes of convincing him to curb his desire to leave Safe Haven.
What a nightmarish town.
We realize that Marlon's lines are being fed to him by creator Christoph,
who has a little bit of a god complex, if you ask me.
From the Lunar Room on the 221st floor of the Omnicam Ecosphere.
Mm.
This section of the synopsis was brought to you by Elk Rotary.
It's a lawnmower.
And how's it going, Ann Buttons? And Mocha Cocoa.
The all-natural cocoa beans from the upper slopes of Mount Nicaragua. No artificial sweeteners. I've tasted other cocos, and this is the best. Man.
I love how this movie keeps on, like, kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit. Like, yeah. as you go around, and you're like, wow, there's, like, a whole other world here.
I feel like, yeah, like this movie's 90 minutes long, and at like the 60 minute mark, it does this, like you said, this giant reveal.
Up the whole world,
yeah. We'll get to it about the interview with Christoph in your next part here. But yeah, exactly. Like, we don't even know, we know it's a show, but we don't know too much about it, just a little bit. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Different layers.
You know, this is a really
good
movie.
Again, more layers.
This movie is. Do you know who's in this movie, Sean?
Jim Carrey?
Paul Giamatti? He's going to be in 30 Coins season 2.
Oh, God.
Oh, we got to watch
that.
I'm
glad we're not watching that.
So this is the time where Paul Giamatti is just kind of showing up in these little roles in these movies. And even just his delivery in The Truman Show, you're like, this guy is an actor. Like, he, to me, he stands out. Like, just mm-hmm. like as much as like in Private Parts when he was like WNBC.
WNBC.
But it's good to see him, and it's good to see his journey to Sideways. How do you've kind of talked about Jim Carrey and his kind of facial expressions and intonations. I think coming off of like a Dumb and Dumber and a Ace Ventura, and that's why, like, when he plays a little bit more of a subtle character and you still see these snippets of him,
mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes I think it's hard, especially when if you're like kind of on Jim Carrey overdrive, to take him seriously.
I totally get that, and I think maybe that's the way I perceived him in the past, but now, like I said, going back and rewatching it, and you get those little kind of quote unquote Jim Carrey moments. Like, I loved it. I totally embraced it.
It works for this film.
Yeah. When he's going batshit crazy with his wife in the car and he's like, oh, let's go to blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And he's like, just, I don't know. It's funny. It's great. And it's like you said, like, I don't know if anybody else could have really played this role and pulled it off the way that he did.
No.
And given the same type of energy and balance.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah.
I'm Truman. So speaking of the score and like the whole thriller horror part, like, it's not this part of it, but when he's having kind of when he's kind of having his talk with Marlon, and he's really like after the whole like
The somber piano.
The somber piano. Yeah. Like, it is just so creepy. And because I think it's the ultimate betrayal of, here's the one person he trusts in his life, and he is being lied to. And that's where you're just like, oh my gosh, this poor man. And yeah, because he's basically bearing his soul to him, and he's realized that he can't trust anyone. It's all conspiracy. But he still has this unconscious trust to Marlin.
Yeah.
And only we know that that's, you know, also.
Don't know really. I was trying to sort of dissect Marlin's sort of speech there that he's, you know, he's being fed to by Christoph.
Yeah.
And he takes a bit of a beat there. And I don't know whether he was like just acting and playing it up or whether he had sort of a moment of.
Like his own
an inner
guilt.
Battle going, guilt for sure. Going on where, you know, that one line where he says, out of anybody, you've known me forever, like you can trust me.
Yeah.
Right. And kind of, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if it was dramatic pause or whether he actually, it was, and maybe that's just great directing through Peter Weir, right?
Yeah. And great performance by Noah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I bet you a lot of it's for the character. It's true. Like I have grown up with you. Yeah. I'm lying to you, but I'm also, this is genuine. Like you were my best friend. Like the fact that we have, you know, history and we've been together for so long, it's true. But at the same time, I'm lying to you because I'm getting paid to do this.
I felt that a bit with the bus driver scene too, when, I think when I first watched the movie, remember he gets on the bus and he's going to Chicago. It was he tried to. Yeah, I thought the bus driver grinded the gears because he didn't actually know how to drive the bus.
Right.
And then, you know, upon this second minute, I realized he purposely grinded the gears so the bus couldn't go anywhere. But then his reaction to Truman after, again, and I think it goes on a fine line between, is this guy acting or is he, does he genuinely feel sorry?
I feel like,
because he was like, I'm sorry, man, you know, but the
joke is that they're just actors and that's why he can't really drive a bus and he can't really drive a boat. And I think
but his response to Truman is what I'm saying.
You know, yes. He's like, the moment he stands up and goes, I'm sorry. I think that's genuine. That's not the acting. That's the genuine. Like,
it feels like I'm sorry for you.
Right? I know you want to get out of here, but I can't help you.
Yeah. And that hit me a bit. Like that was something on this viewing that, you know, you don't sort of really experience on your first viewing. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You, it's cool because you can watch all the background actors and some of them are like, you can tell that some of them are trying to play it serious. And other ones are just really happy to be in a scene with Truman. And they're kind of like, you know, they're a little bit of like a stage fright where they're kind of like, they're just excited to be there. And then everyone, like other ones are just like nervous and they're empathetic or other ones are just like completely going at it. Like, or it's cool.
You know, the one guy who seems like he's a bit of a watcher, you know, the guy with the hat and the glasses, he always seems like he's, you know, I don't know.
He's focused on hitting his cue.
Yeah, or he's like, just a security guy. You know, he's like ensuring, like he's always sort of the evil eye or something like that. But
I was talking about earlier about the one of the ones that really made me lol. And that one was when during the confrontation in the kitchen, the house, and he's really like saying, Meryl, you're not like, you're in on this. And then she did like the whole commercial of the dicer.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Who are you talking to?
Yeah. Who are you talking to? I remember really laughing at that part, like finding that like hilarious.
No, that was just such a nice genuine reaction for him too. Like, yeah, really good. I was going to say something and I totally forget what it was. What were we talking about before?
The Truman Show.
The Truman Show.
Al Pacino.
Ow!
Ouch. Sean just punched his own junk.
No, something about the damn bus driver.
Oh, that he was sorry for him?
I don't remember.
The background characters?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
The score?
No, let's move on.
Okay.
Let's move on. Hey, so they don't like the Sylvia storyline. They basically pushed her out of the show when he was starting to fall for her and stuff like that. But yet, you know, they had everybody watching the show and then they brought up the whole Wayne's World flashback scenario and they retold the whole story of Sylvia. So
that's
the show producers don't like it, but yet they're reiterating the story.
Because the audience loves it, right? So you think about the idea of like an accident happens on
why would they keep bringing it up if
because
it's something
the people
want
to see it and they want people to watch the show. So they know their ratings
can
go up.
They can't do anything or they don't want to do anything.
Well, they can't do anything about it because she as a real person doesn't want to play the game, right? So you hire 600 people to be extras and they have like conditions and terms of their role and you hire principal actors who have commitments and based on like understandings and legal commitments and, you know, a willingness to play the role long term. And then you've got background actors, and they obviously hired Natasha's character as a background actor, and she didn't sign off on the fact that she'd want to like keep this ruse going. And then of course, but Truman's has another idea. He's like, no, I actually want to engage that person who doesn't have a speaking role.
And why wouldn't they just up her contract and give her some Jim
because Perry she money. Has morals. So her,
you think because they couldn't control her?
Correct. Like yeah, because right. She's just like, no, I'm not gonna lie to him. Look, I took this gig for extra money, but when I really think about it, I don't actually believe in this show. I don't like what you're doing to this person. Would this to me would be those conversations that we're not seeing that are right. happening in the background.
This is the interview right. process.
This is the yeah, and so they could have had like an early conversation yeah. with her and be like, oh, it looks like Truman's paying attention to you. Are you interested in taking a bigger role? It would mean lying constantly to someone, and she'd probably be like, no, that's okay.
But put you in the dancing scene before you leave, anyways. I just mean I don't know. I saw that dancing scene where he kept trying to sort of get her attention, or you know, vice versa. She was trying to get his, and Meryl kept sort of, you know, diverting him and stuff like that. It's sort of like, well, if that was his love interest and all that, and she was a paid actor at that time, why wouldn't they just sort of run with it?
Because the people, because they probably already made like a financial commitment to Meryl as an actress.
Oh, and they're then getting all fucking legal.
Well, but that's that's the reality. Like when you watch TV shows,
no, you're right,
and you're like,
right.
why did yeah. the character who played this, why did the actor that played this character in season one is not the same actor in season two? Well, there was probably some sort of legal issue, or that they had other commitments, or that they actually didn't get along with people behind the set. So they actually had fired him and recasted him. I mean, that's why shit goes down that we don't. Oh, thank you. I'll put that money in the swear jar, which I assume is the reason. And I mean,
right.
And it's backed up by the fact that's Natasha's character is like in her apartment building. She's got, it's like she's been petitioning to free Truman this whole time. You know, you can tell by all the articles and all the posters in the background
yeah.
that there's probably a small vocal minority, which Harry Shearer refers to, of people who want to like let him go, tell
right.
him the truth.
Right. Yeah. The Liberators. The Truman Liberators.
Have you ever seen that TV show, The Liberators?
No. Yes, I have. It was horrible. You made me watch that shit.
Anything else?
Yeah, I've got some notes here. What do you think they did about his first blowjob? You know, they just cut to I was thinking, okay, we know the sex, the thing, they cut to the curtains and all that, but like,
they never show any of the good stuff.
Let's just get a little.
But do you think? Okay, yeah, I understand. But
like, what if he said something in a?
Well, how many times do you do something that you're like glad that no one saw you do it?
Whether oh, a million like times.
You pick your butt. You pick your nose. And those are like yourself, the, those buddy. Are the parental. These are the. I was PG trying to think.
Like, what if he had some just crazy, gross. Friggin' habit, like I don't know.
Well, what about when you're like 10 and you start getting boners and you don't know what to do with it? Like that whole phase, what happened? Like, was there like yeah. blackouts for yeah, 6 exactly. hours of
seize,
a day?
Seize transmission, right? Oh my god, he's slapping it quick. Seize transmission, shit.
Right, like you just like you see little boys who are subconsciously just play with their junk all day, and then yeah. when you're an actual teenager,
what's Truman doing?
Consciously playing with your junk all day. Like, how are they actually like? There must be a
especially
lot of like
old ladies.
Cut to commercial.
They must have just had a corn. What's Truman doing? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Truman. Oh my god. Oh my god, Gloria, what's Truman doing? I don't know. All I see is curtains.
Just hold his hold your pillow, Fanny. In the okay, so there's like I love all the characters that are watching the show. So there's like you're talking about like the two old women who are in their pajamas.
Yeah, yeah, I love yeah, yeah.
And so if you look at the background, there's like and most of the like images of people
yeah, they're
watching
all fans.
The show, they've got all the fans. Yeah. They've got photos of like Truman. They've got photos of Meryl. And there's like a weird. They've got like a photo of a guy who's kind of going like this. Like this is good podcasting. He's got his hands up in the air, like almost like he's from a Shakespearean play.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't. If you can go back and look at that scene,
and what
every
was
time
it?
That, I don't know who it is. I tried to like microscope it and figure out who that was. And I didn't Google it.
She's like hugging like a Truman pillow.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even
yeah.
the Truman bar, like it was pretty cool to see like all the things around.
Yeah, and they serve the same beer that Buddy kept bringing out all the time.
Did you know that that beer is actually a mainstay in a lot of film and productions?
Yeah, like I heard that. It's do like you think that has to do with
just like the prop masters?
Like, I wonder if it has to do with the production, like Universal or Paramount or whoever.
Right.
Sorry, I don't remember the studio behind this movie, but I wonder if that's what it is.
Yeah.
All productions.
Because they go to the prop room and they're like, okay, we need to put some cans of beer on the table.
Yeah.
And there's like, you know, because you think about like, that was the cool thing about Marlon's character is like, no matter where he went, he always had a six pack. So they probably had like a good, you know.
Yeah, middle of the night, he's arguing with his wife. All of a sudden, his best friend says, hey, Drew, with a six pack. I guess, and you know, for us, we're like, oh my God, that's so odd and weird. And why wouldn't that just put off red flags for Truman all over the place? But I think it all brings up the theme that, you know, this is a universal world that Christoph has created, and his buddy, ever since they could probably drink beer or even probably before, was coming over at the weirdest times with the six pack of beer. So this was nothing odd for Truman, right? But us as viewers, it's like,
but it's kind of funny you think of like, there's like a crew person that's run job is to make sure that Marlon always has a six pack in his hand.
Yeah,
like a consistency kind of person that as Marlon's like getting his makeup done and heading out to set, there's like, well, here's your six pack, nice and cold for you, sir.
Meryl crossing her fingers now, like that's interesting, and maybe it had something to do with her, I don't know, beliefs with marriage or something like that. If she crossed her fingers, it didn't matter. But I mean, she was already signed up for life with this Truman. Like, she was ready to have a child with him and this and that. So like, crossing your fingers, almost like, this isn't real for me. Like, she was going to live her whole life like that. So it's not like she was saving herself for somebody else.
See, I wonder, like, the idea of the day job or the idea of, like, there's one point where the mom is over and they're trying to get Truman to really think about like his past, and they're showing the photo albums, and then they're like, okay, well, Truman, we're going to go now. And he's like, and it almost like he wanted to go too. They're like, no, you're going to stay. We're going to go talk about your birthday. And by the way, your favorite movie's on. So it's like, they have these control mechanisms to keep him in place.
You think it was
so
like break time for
them? Right, exactly. So these actors can leave for 4 hours at a time and then go live their real lives. And potentially every day was like that for her.
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, okay, can she
can leave for eight hours a day.
Could she possibly...
And he thinks
juggle another relationship outside, but I don't think that would. I mean, well, would have been quite a stretch to think that that was possible.
But I think that is like that's
because she's spending every night. What if he wakes up in the middle of the night and she's gone? You know that.
But that's when she's on, probably. Like, she's on from like 6 p.m. to 8 a.m.
You hit your mic again.
Sorry, man. Everybody, I'm really. I'm doing a lot of hand stuff.
He's doing a lot of hand gestures today. Russ really likes this movie.
Like, fucking got me going. But yeah, so think about it. Like, she works from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m.
So you think it's possible that she had an alternate lifestyle outside? For sure. It's at 4 hours. She was maybe sneaking away and having another relationship.
Well, and there's like this, because I don't think they actually live in Sea Haven. I think these characters actually do have like a real life outside of Sea Haven. And well, there's even like photos behind Natasha's character at one point when she's in her apartment. And I think there's pictures of all the main actors like kind of walking down like Hollywood Boulevard or something like that.
Right.
And people like petitioning against them. So here are these probably, you know, actors.
So they have a public life.
They have a public life outside.
Oh, interesting.
Because even there's that one part when he goes to the hospital. Yeah, he's in his regular clothes. Like, he's in his weekend clothes. And so to me, that like, he doesn't have to go to work. So now it's a Saturday or Sunday, but she's going to work. So I guess there's even these justifications of how to keep her working on the weekend so she can get a break during the weekend as well.
Yeah. Like, they sort of hinted on it with Marlon or whatever, saying like, remember when I was a kid and I got pneumonia, I was gone for 3 weeks.
Or when he was
and
doing
you could have interpreted that, okay, well, he's a little kid. That was his break, right?
Yes. Yeah. And there was also one where they talked about him working for Kaiser Chicken.
Yeah, and he was going away. He's like, I'm going to be going away for a little bit or whatever.
Like, so there's these little hints that they're like, okay, this is how they you made it make sense in regards to the production aspect, which is kind of one of those really cool things about,
again, really cool attention to detail that they put into this movie.
Yeah. Truman Show. Okay, you ready?
I'm not
hanging on.
Okay.
No. Do you have anything else?
Or I just, you know, hospital scene. I thought hospital it was pretty scene. Funny.
Yes.
When the surgeon made the surgeon go ahead with it anyways. He's like, okay, I'm going to get a person's on the operating table. And it's like he goes to, I think he like actually cut them because they like sprung up or and the nurse like slams the guy down. I was like, oh my God, he's like going to like amputate this person's leg just for the sake of the illusion of the Truman Show, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
It's pretty funny.
Again, yeah, you know, the whole dad, you know, everything, it just really hit home. Everything is so manufactured for the viewing audience that, you know, on a repeat viewing of this, right. You really, I did anyways, start to feel really sorry for Truman.
Yeah, like it's all based on Truman staying within his lane too. Yeah. Like as long as he's sticking with his patterns and he's not like breaking out of his routine. Hence the whole like elevator scene too. Like, like him going into a building he doesn't normally go to and then, you know, actually pushing the button for the elevator that actually isn't an elevator.
Yeah. They mentioned about, he's the first person to actually be adopted by a corporation. And then they mentioned that this corporation has the money of a small country, Okay. Yeah. Now I just thought about this.
Yeah.
Truman leaves the show. He's adopted by this corporation. He must be entitled as a member of that corporation's family. He must be entitled to some of that money.
Yeah.
You'd think so. Maybe, you know, if he was smart enough when he got on the outside world at the end, he hires a lawyer.
Lawyer up.
Get me some of that small country money. Right?
You bet. 100%.
I think so. Let's do this.
Mike Michelson, played by Harry Shearer.
I think I know that guy.
interviews Christoph,
who, interesting enough, normally guards his privacy. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
And questions the show's creator on Truman's actions to leave Sea Haven.
This town sucks.
Christoph sums it up to a vague ambition and not a real determination to discover the truth.
Is he watching the same show that we are?
Fortunately, with Merrill out of the house, Truman now has the upper hand. And while presenting himself as back to his old antics,
Ferris Bueller ripoff,
he secretly escapes the camera lens, faces his fears, and sails away from Sea Haven.
This shit town.
Christoph breaks the fourth wall and introduces himself to his son. Truman. But it's too late. Truman gives a final bow to the audience and exits stage left.
Exits stage sky.
The final section of the synopsis was brought to you by Carlton Fine Colonial Homes. Order yours today.
Cease transmission.
Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
That's
our viewers saying that right now.
Yeah.
They're done.
I love watching it again and seeing how everything kind of dawns. Like this, like Truman's phases of like figuring it out. Like there's parts where he's like something's going on here. Oh, this person's in on it. Oh, everyone's in on it. Oh, these are the strategies they're using to keep me ignorant. And because there's this one there, like the final one of the two twins, like how he's pretending to be like just at his regular routines, and the two twins push him against the billboard and they're like, you know what, Truman, we're gonna take that that insurance investment or whatever. And he's like, great, give me something to look forward to, because that's all it is. It's just like giving him something to forward to, keeping him in his lane,
yeah,
so he doesn't think about what's really going on here, which I thought was hilarious. I like the whole the interview with Christoph, and also within the interview with Christoph, they're showing the grandiose, like how the Truman Show has really impacted the world around him, like how people are watching it and consuming it and how big and popular it is as a TV show.
And how much that's sort of fueled his own ego, right?
Probably.
Giving him that God complex.
Yeah, well, yeah. And, like, I love, like, there's a part where, like, there's, like, this huge stadium of people watching the marriage of, Merle and Truman. And that made me think of the, in Survivor, kind of, like, the most famous couple that came out of Survivor was the Rob and Amber.
Right.
And when Rob and Amber got married, it was actually this big thing.
Was it?
Like, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. There was, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure the tabloids had a field day with it.
But I think, you know, CBC, CBS or whatever, the people who broadcast Survivor also was able to probably broadcast and produce their wedding too,
right,
making it like a full, you know, someone's going to, I'll pay for everything. I'll make this the biggest wedding ever, but it's just going to be on national TV. Are you okay with that? Yeah, probably. You can see the parallel lines even after this movie was done.
Yeah. I think pretty funny how the show creator is so elusive and secretive, yet he's, you know, yet there's no off switch for the Truman Show. Pretty ironic, eh?
The pot calling the kettle black. I like how there's like both Sylvia and Kristoff at certain points in the movie are like caressing Truman's face on a screen. Like there's this idea of like people loving Truman through like, but through a screen. So you can like, they can't hug him, they can't touch him, but they just like pet him.
That's as close as they can get like, to him, right?
Yeah.
But it also shows the connection that Kristoff has and Sylvia has with him. Like, do you think like she's just devoted her life to saving Truman? Or like that's her.
And I wonder if like, unfortunately, will their relationship ever actually work?
Right.
Because he's going to have to probably, in order to heal from this experience, like he's going to have to separate himself from all of this. And she would probably be an advocate for that, but, and help him and support him through that. But you think like, again, she represents this mechanism that's been lying to him, even though she's, you know, pivoted and obviously now leads a different coalition to save him. But
I mean, not only has he lived in a small little confined town, but he's only lived in a universe in which they've allowed him to live in. Like there's so much of the real world, I'm sure, that he doesn't know. You know what I mean? Like even just basic history or even like normal things. I don't know. I mean, we could go off.
Well, I mean, but he knew where Fiji was on a globe, but to your point, like I think they're keeping, keeping things to the 50s too.
Do you think he knows who the current president of the United States
is, or
anything else sort of going on in the world?
Does he know that there's a president of the United States?
Exactly.
Well, maybe, I guess. Yeah. I mean, he knows there's a Sea Haven.
Like they just, and they just called it like
the fathers of Sea Haven,
the best town on planet Earth, like how, and he knows where Fiji is, and obviously he showed us a globe and stuff like that, but like how much of that detail does he know?
There's a balance, because you think like the more you tell him, the more he'd be curious to get out, but also like you've created these phobias for him to, you know, of dogs, of water, to keep him in place. Like you give him the job of an insurance broker who basically when you're a risk manager, all it is about how all fun stuff is like a liability and you're always putting yourself at risk. So it's a good occupation for him to have to keep him in a box. You'd think the more he knew, the more he just wanted to get out.
I want to see the sequel to Truman Show 1 week later when he's banging on the dome for them to let him back in because the real world is just too much of a cruel place for him.
I don't know. I think once he discovered 80s music, he'd be like, oh, this place is pretty cool.
Right. I like that. But you don't like 80s movies.
No.
80s but you like 80s music?
Correct. Yes. I think that's that's a good summation.
To piggyback off that, you know, Kristoff is pleading with him at the end, you know, hey, I've created a really safe universe for you, you know, come back. And
it's no better out there than it is here.
But really, like, that would have never worked. There would have been no going back and hitting the reset button and Truman going back to his everyday life, knowing what he knowed now. So even Kristoff pleading to him to come back was futile.
Right.
Like the Truman Show was never going to go back to the way it was.
And
he might as well have just let him go and started fresh again.
And that was in his demise. Cause even though Kristoff has his like blinders on the whole time. If anyone objectively is watching what Truman's doing, he wants to get out. And Truman's like, oh no, we'll just convince him to stay. Like Marlon's got it. He'll bring over a 6-pack of beer and we'll have a talk and it'll be okay.
It's almost like their next iteration of the Truman Show should be like, how long can we keep this facade up for? You know, and it's almost like that was the intention of the movie because it starts with day 10,000, something like, okay, well, we made it 10,000 days in the Truman Show.
900 days without an accident.
Yeah, exactly. And that you know, that should be the premise of Truman too.
It is an interesting double-edged sword too, because people love watching Truman Show, but they're never more excited to watch him get out. because the show's right, over.
And they're all cheering for him. Yeah, but like, yeah, but yeah.
I've created an industry of watching the Truman Show. I've created a Truman bar. But guess what? As soon as Truman's out, like, there's yeah. no more show. Yeah. There's no more bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So unless they're ready to. But I think with that, you know.
Because he could sue. He could probably sue everybody.
Who, Christoph?
No, the sue the bar. Sue everybody for using his likeness without his permission. Like, there's no more industry of Truman as soon as Truman gets out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people are like, woohoo.
Yeah.
Yay. Good for you, Truman.
And what the
you did it.
Friggy, friggy. Oh
you
my
did
God,
it. This is when Sean
this is when wants Sean to has say something, idea.
But he forgets it. So we spend time listening to him going,
I remember. I forget.
No, you did. Did you just do that on purpose?
No. Yeah. I did. No. I think Christoph was already setting up Truman Show number two. Because he was talking about
like the baby.
I believe we're going to have the first. So, like, yeah. that's just Truman number two. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Of course, he can't do it without Truman being the father. What I mean is, you know, I think in the end, Christoph, rather than pleading Truman to stay, would have been just better off, like, okay, let's just let him go and let him go. Don't quit putting obstacles in the way. Let him go.
Yeah.
And then start again. Because, you know, the minute they have a new baby, everyone's tuning in for Truman too. Like, so I don't think Buddy's up shit creek the whole too idea, much with losing Truman.
The whole idea is probably grandfathered in too. Cause I mean, you don't, I don't think he would have probably been like the laws that allowed him to do this originally probably evolved to the point where they could get away with it now, but I don't think they would be able to get away with it again. You know, do you leave a movie as like jazzed up as you do watching The Truman Show? Like, has such a great ending of like the score picks up, you know, Truman says his goodbye, leaves through the sky, and Natasha's character is running down the stairs with her jacket on. Everyone watching TV is screaming. You know, Christoph's like, damn it. Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's
it wasn't very good.
It's except, one of those movies that leaves you all
when it goes
like,
to the security
up.
Guards and like, okay, let's see what else is on.
Yeah, that's
and
funny.
It is funny, but I think it also hits home how, you know, how everyone probably only cares for Truman while he's on the Truman Show, and now that he's gone, everyone's just going to move on.
Oh, hopefully.
You know, it's so quickly, too.
Give him some
and
privacy.
It's just kind of, well, which is good, yeah. But at the same time, I think it also touches on some themes where, you know, just people's sort of attention span and shit like that, right? It's just,
yeah,
you know, it's what's popular in the now, and then once it's not popular, it's not popular and no one cares about it
It's
anymore.
What's for dinner.
So, okay, so Truman escapes.
Yeah.
He had to know where that hidden camera was because he knew the angle in which he could sneak out of the basement, right? If the camera had been on the other side, it would have clearly saw him sneak out. So he had to know where that camera was. And then, okay, blah, 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 blah. And then we get the whole sort of Shawshank Redemption thing where he's clearly been planning this for a while. He didn't just dig that hole that night.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, okay, well, when did he start doing that?
Well, you know there is a time jump. There is a time jump because they allude to like...
You think when Meryl left?
Yeah, because they're since Meryl left him, he's moved in down to the basement.
Oh,
so there's the... Okay, and they say that in the control tower. So there's the idea that time has gone by. Has it been a week? Has it been 2 months? It's hard to say, but I think enough time has gone by to make him, to allow him time to
I was kind of hoping he had even been doing it even earlier than that because way back in the very... In the first act, he's gardening. There's a great shot of his rear end, and Meryl comes home.
He's digging a hole.
He's doing something in the garden, and she's like, oh, Truman, you missed a spot. And you can see him when he's mowing the lawn near the end. There is a circle cut out in the lawn that he's mowing the lawnmower over. So I wonder if this was something before his inkling. You know, and we started being privy to his inkling that something was going on. If he had actually started this whole series of events prior to the movie actually starting.
I don't think so, but I like your thoughts.
I don't think so either.
I like your thoughts.
But I was kind of starting to think, when did he dig this hole? Okay, there was that garden scene.
Because I was thinking about like, did he already have suspicions before the movie started? But I really think.
Maybe.
I don't know. I really, going back to how it all develops, I really think it started
with the light
with the light falling. Like, I don't think he might have these things might have lived in his brain, but he never put them together until the light fell.
Or it never got any sort of traction. Right.
Yeah. So I don't think he could have started making the plans until after the light fell.
I like that idea, though. Yeah. Yeah. I want to go back and watch it again.
Well, I guess you could.
Again. And I was watching the credits because I thought maybe your buddy Harry Shearer was the radio voice as well.
Oh, interesting.
I thought maybe, but I couldn't find it. But anyways, but they split the credits up. Cast.
You said that.
They do a Truman's World, and then they do Christoph's World, and then they do the viewers. So they split up into three things. I thought that was really cool. Something you'd totally miss if you didn't sort of stick around.
Who was your favorite viewer?
The guy in the bathtub.
That was the second hilarious
He's clinging
part.
On He's like, to hold his... on. Yeah, come on! He was just so into it. Yeah.
That part was hilarious.
Have you ever had a bathtub experience like that where you just like set up a movie and just sat there for hours?
No, because A, bathtubs aren't comfortable, and B, the water gets cold and you get pruny.
Top it up.
When I see people who are like, I'm going to go for a bath, and they light candles and they have a glass of wine, I'm like, how does that even make sense? Like, unless you're in a jacuzzi that constantly has an elongated water circulating.
Yeah, I'm always scrunched up. I don't have baths.
No, I don't have baths.
I only had baths when I got my hysterectomy last year. Yeah, not hysterectomy. My hemorrhoidectomy. Hysterectomy.
Here we go.
I had my uterus removed.
Sean hates baths.
Sean had his uterus removed. But I did. I sat in the bathtub for hours and watched Netflix.
So would you just drain it and make more?
I would just top it up.
Yeah, top mine.
Yeah.
So, but that wasn't like, it was just more like a survival thing.
Exactly. Like, it was the only thing that kept me through. That. No, like right. I was spent hours in the bathtub. That was all I could do.
And what did you watch, sir?
Just Netflix stuff. Netflix. I went through a whole bunch of 80s movies. You know, we love the 80s movies.
You do. Should we rate this?
I don't know. Do you have anything else to add?
I like to move forward and not keep on pausing.
I know you do. I'm just saying, you know, I felt really, really sorry for Truman. And I think upon this viewing, it really kind of hit me more in the feels than maybe any other viewing of this movie I had, especially when he was banging against the wall and trying to get out.
Did you have a little tear?
I did. I got a little choked up because I felt just that bad for this man who was kept in this cage against his will, and all he wanted to do was get out and live his life, and there's absolutely nothing he could do to escape this
until
they actually opened the door. They didn't open the door, but you know what I mean. Like he had to
face his fears,
yeah,
and pull back the curtain and get out of there.
Good for Truman.
All right, let's rate it.
This shit is awesome.
Explain it.
So everybody,
you just go right into it.
I know. Just in case you've never listened to this podcast before, we like to rate the film with 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 jarps. Right. 1 being meh, and 5 being this changed my life. Well, Sean, I give this a 4.5. The musical score, the performances, the story, the directing, the timing of the concept prior to reality TV really finding traction. I thought The Truman Show was amazing, is still amazing. I recommend it to all.
Yeah. I didn't think it was the perfect movie, but I thought near perfect. I used my JARP rating thing and I got a 4.75, really, really high. Almost 25 years later, and this movie still stands up. The cinematography is inventive, the musical score is engaging, and Jim Carrey gives one of the best, if not the best, performance of his life. The supporting cast is top-notch, along with the writing and attention to detail. The themes of this movie seem even more relevant today, and I think this movie will one day be added to that movie archival capsule.
You can always like tell when Sean's reading something because your tone is always like...
Serious?
You know, yeah. Maybe because when you're just ad-libbing... Your voice is very like natural and genuine, and then when you read stuff,
it's just like, "This is something I need to read off."
It's really good, and then I say this, and then Sean like,
"Shut up!"
Sean punched me in the nipple. It's good film. Everybody, go watch it. You know what we're gonna do now?
Are we doing the Bublé taste
test? We're gonna do the Sean's never tried Michael Bublé soda.
No.
So I've got 3 flavors for you. I'm just going to get it ready. And in a blind taste test, I want you to First, I want you to identify the flavor, because this is a follow-up from last podcast where my sister believes that no one can actually truly
Now, are they like single, like raspberry, peach? Yeah, I'm going to Or get, is it like, I'm gonna are get, they like mashups, no, no. like strawberry, banana?
You'll be able to just say one fruit. Okay. And you'll be able to
Okay.
Okay. So I'm gonna have to get-
How long is this going to take you to get ready?
I don't know. Well, you can't look.
Okay, so I got a filibuster then.
Yeah, you got to- I'm going to move over.
You're the improv specialist.
No, dude, you are the funny person.
I got to filibuster this shit. All right, well, good thing I brought some filibuster music. This is the part where Russ gets up and tries to fool me with some Michael Bublé, And to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of bubbly Bublé sodas, but you know, just for to humor Russ here, I'm gonna go ahead and do it. So yeah, and it's really hard for me to think of things to Russ is screaming now in the background, and you know, oh, you can hear the cracks of the stuff, and you know, you guys want a rap song? Let's have a rap song. J to the A to the R to the P. I'm okay, Jarp. My name is Sean, and I'm Jarp. And it's wrong, motherfucker. Gets it. Oh, better add a coin because I said the F word. Okay, said the glasses. F. Okay. Okay, Russ is back.
Okay, you got three glasses. This is one, two, and three.
Okay, I've got three sodas in front of me. It's just some visual. And I've got one, two, three. Okay. Yeah. I'm supposed to choose. I'm just going to go for one. I'm going linearly here. Okay.
Yeah,
okay, I'm going
one.
For one. We're going for one here. Let's see. This shit is horrible.
No, that's not the point. Do you know? Oh, I touched
strawberry.
The light.
Number one is strawberry.
Number one is strawberry. I'm not going to say.
Okay, we'll wait.
No, number two.
No, number two.
That's a nice sound effect right there. Number two. Sean's drinking.
Number two is lime.
Okay. He's got the third final.
This shit is horrible.
It's just club soda with flavor.
Flavor? Where's the flavor? I'm like,
well, you've obviously just identified correctly or incorrectly.
Yeah, well, I'm reaching here. All
two
right.
Flavors.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Third, bubbly, Bublé.
Oh, it smells. Can I smell?
Sure. Yeah, you do whatever you want. I don't know.
Oh, that's strawberry.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, you are correct on two and three. You've got lime and strawberry. So go back to number one again. Okay. And now that you know that three is strawberry, you try one and see if you can identify one. And then my sister's theory is out the window. Wow, everybody, I hope you are on the edge of your seat.
Peach.
It's grapefruit.
Oh, grapefruit.
You got two out of three. Sean, and your verdict, which is your favorite?
The lime.
The lime, yeah. That's my favorite, too. All right, everybody. This is not an advertisement.
Hey, Christy. Christy.
All right. Ready for...
Wait, one more for good measure.
This is... are you ready for stargazing?
Are you good?
This is where we talk about stuff that outside of the Truman Show. What are we watching? What are we excited about? What's maybe on rotation at the household with the kids or not? Anything you're kind of...
I binge watched The Last of Us, like I said I was going to.
Right, and how did you enjoy the binge of The Last of Us?
I liked it. Yeah? I did like it. Not the greatest series I've ever seen. Definitely very good. I was engaged in all that.
What is the greatest series you've ever seen?
The greatest series? I think the series that I have enjoyed the most. Guess. We rated it.
Oh.
You know
Wow. It. Truth Seekers.
No.
The one Dash and Lily.
No, on HBO.
I don't know what we did.
The Insider.
The Insider.
I think overall that's probably my favorite.
The Outsider? You're talking about?
The Outsider?
The one where the
Stephen King one.
Yeah. I think it's called with.
Is it The Outsider The Insider?
Okay, you keep talking about why you like it, and I'll tell you what it was actually.
Well, just because it was. What, 8-10 episodes, self-contained, there's no second season. The acting was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I loved the story of it. I just loved it. I loved it. It was so good. What was it called? The Outsider?
It was The Outsider.
Outsider.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Mm-hmm. He did so good in it.
Why is like the main female actor?
It was so good that I forgot the name of it.
Revo. And Ben Mendelsohn, and then Bill Camp was in it.
Did you put booze in my bubbly there?
And it was Jason Bateman, right? Was in, like, remember he was the, yeah.
Yeah, Jason Bateman got killed in the first episode. Oh, good show. Fuck, I just.
Yeah, sorry, spoiler for everybody. And he does a real Drew Barrymore screen.
He directed the first episode too.
Yeah, I think he was, I bet you he produced it or something.
He did.
Is he a good director just like Ben Stiller?
Yeah. I started watching Severance last night.
Sean just looked at me like I and grabbed my pants.
Well, they're two different styles. Ben's very dark, though.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to make a joke because I forgot that Ben Stiller was the director in the previous episode. It's not a funny joke. Ooh, The Insider. I really love The Insider.
Even though I don't know the name of it.
It's my favorite show.
Fail. Shut up.
The Insider, I believe, was a movie, though. I'm going to say it starred.
Oh, yeah. Michael Russell Mann movie with Russell Crowe. Yeah, the Insider. Something about the smoking industry.
I'm feeling really good about this movie trip.
Yeah, don't get your hopes.
So you watched Last of Us.
Yeah.
And you thought it was good.
It was good. I understand the overarching sense of danger from the infection and stuff like that. But I felt every time they introduced a bad guy or some sort of
Human bad guy?
They were killed off in one or two episodes.
Right.
You know, like the female bad gang leader who ran the bad cult or whatever like that.
Who's also in Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. She's fantastic. But she only lasted like two episodes.
Right.
The pastor who ran that other small town cult. He only lasted one episode.
Yeah, they're just like big bads in like levels of video games, right?
I guess so. Small mini boss levels, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're talking about
but it was good.
Melanie Linsky's character.
Yeah. She's good.
And
she gets a lot of grief for her weight. I don't know why, eh? She gets some online backlash that she's a little.
I think there was something in regards to like the idea of like this post-apocalypse food is scarce.
So she wouldn't be that healthy looking.
I think that's if anyone had,
I think she's really pretty.
Yeah. Anyways, she's a great person, great actress. Actually, I don't know her as a person. I can't speak to. And Scott Shepherd played David, who is the pastor. Mm. Which was a creepy character.
Yeah, super creepy.
I didn't mind the show.
Pedo bear.
I agree with you though. Not my favorite show, but a good show.
Yeah.
And the smaller episodes were kind of my favorite episodes. I didn't care too much about the killer mushrooms, but I did like some of the when they took the breath.
And interesting. Kind of, did you see that in the news that it's somewhere in India that a 60-year-old man was infected with a plant fungus for the first time?
Yeah. I mean,
it's coming.
They'll make note.
Are you coming to my house, right?
What's that?
Because I got the shotgun.
Sean's got a gun.
You're coming to my house.
Sean's got a gun.
Sean has got a gun.
What will his daddy
Sean
do?
Sean's got a gun.
Okay.
This big gun. Russ is giving me the look like, shut the fuck up.
Speaking of Melanie Linsky, since our last podcast, Yellow Jacket season 2 has started.
Have you been watching it?
I've seen the first two episodes.
Started yet. No spoilers, please.
Oh, at all?
No. Okay. I'm going to wait a little bit.
It's been
1 week. Maybe we should get that. We seem to go to that a lot. Maybe that's a new
but you know what?
No, we don't want to get
Comedy
sued.
Bang Bang also does a bit with it too. So
forget it.
We're not like
that's probably why you're saying it.
We're not probably. I listen to podcasts and
maybe we should just keep to our own.
Right? Yeah, keep to what we know. Yeah. Keep in our lane.
Russ doesn't even know the lyrics to our theme song.
I like you and I like me and just another review podcast. You know what movie I saw, Sean? Mm. Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, you went and saw that with your D&D friends.
My improv D&D friends.
Nice.
Yeah, super good movie.
I've heard good things about it. I haven't heard anybody like say, oh my God, it's the best movie of the year. But the general consensus that I've heard is it's quote unquote fun.
It is a fun movie.
Do you see a sequel coming? What's with the tag? Honor Amongst Thieves or whatever. Like, is that like
Pirates of the Caribbean?
I guess. Yeah. Right? Like, are they? They're like, let's cross our fingers and hope this is a franchise.
Have you ever? Yes, yeah, I was gonna say. Have you ever heard of franchising films? Yeah they're pretty much exactly. So nope, they're thinking ahead and they're going, okay, if this works, I think they're, you know, D&D, Wizards of the Coast, Hasbro, whoever owns this, is really gearing up for the big long. Like, they'll probably be TV shows. They'll probably be, if it
maybe
works.
Relaunch the toys, right. Figurines.
Ooh, like a
bring out that new Dungeon Master book. Mm-hmm. Like when was the last time that manual was updated? Those things are old, aren't they?
No. So when we were kids, when I would play in high school, it was a second edition.
Okay.
And now we're on fifth edition.
Oh, okay. So they do
like every 10 or so years, they kind of like make a new edition.
Right.
So,
And when do you guys get together and worship Satan?
Pretty much every Sunday where everyone else goes to church, we worship the devil.
Yay!
With a D20. And a pencil and paper. Mm-hmm. And our imagination.
Oh.
Are you ready for a random movie trivia game?
What time is it for?
Random movie trivia game. This is when Sean and I'm just gonna quiz each other.
So I know
we've been hinting at it all day where we get cards.
I got to pee really bad.
Oh, here we go.
No, but I think I can finish the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, we're near the end.
That's like suspense.
I'm holding on. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, so we...
Will Sean piss his pants next time on Jarp?
Okay, do you? I won, by the way, last time. So
you choose who goes first.
Okay, I'll go. You ask me first.
Okay, I'll ask you first. Okay. Who advises Sean in
his throat?
Okay, shut up.
All right.
Who advises in Finding Nemo that you should just keep swimming?
Dory. Ellen DeGeneres.
Good job. Look, I didn't even need the music.
Yep. What 30s comedy?
That's 30s comedy?
Yeah.
30s. Like from
30s, yeah.
Oh my God.
What 30s comedy stars Katharine Hepburn, Cary Grant, and a leopard? I knew I felt good about this. What 30s comedy?
I'm honestly going to say I have no idea.
No, why would you? It's called Bringing Up the Baby. Bringing Up Baby. Bringing Up Baby? Bringing Up Baby is what it's called.
No.
Okay.
All right.
I like my chances here.
Oh. Fuck! Who stars in the 2002 Prohibition-era movie Road to Perdition?
Tom Hanks.
It was multiple choice, and he doesn't even need it.
Yeah. I love Tom Hanks.
Jeez Louise.
Because he was in that movie where he's by
Tom
himself.
Cruise. I thought that was Tom Cruise.
On an island, and he's married Tom to Helen Hunt.
Because he runs to the island. He runs around the island.
This is I'm interested to see how you did this one. This was...
I hate you. Purposely picked a shit
one. You saw me randomly pick.
No, I didn't. Actually, I didn't.
But I do every week. I usually win. Gosh darn it! I usually lose. Gosh darn it! Who plays Bill in Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2?
David Carradine.
That's right. There you go. Calm down.
All right, 2-1.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, this is challenging.
All right.
What 2017 movie mm-hmm. did Daniel Day-Lewis mm-hmm. say would be his last film?
The Thread one. Darn it. Single Thread or something like that? No.
Is that your final answer?
Wasn't he in like a movie called Nine? Oh, darn it. Yeah, like a Single Thread. Like something, yeah. That's my final answer.
Damn, you're so close.
Oh, what's it called?
Phantom Thread. Ah! So close.
I actually would like to see that. I've never seen it.
Add it to the list.
All right.
And I won't watch it.
Oh my gosh, just like dude. You
complain about mine.
Look at this. Listen to this question. Daniel Day-Lewis plays an American president in what Spielberg movie?
Lincoln.
That's right. A lot of Daniel Day-Lewis questions.
Yeah, right? What's the chances of that?
I don't know.
All right, we're tied.
Maybe number three is, oh, because number three is maybe all about awards.
I think so. It's like
obviously Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't Oscar do anything without getting an award. What okay, a pee you just had, Daniel Day-Lewis. Here's a Oscar.
It's my turn.
All right.
To ask you.
I need to get this.
What actor plays true crime writer Ellison Oswalt in Sinister? What actor plays true crime writer Ellison Oswalt in Sinister?
Johnny Depp?
Ah, that would be Ethan Hawke. I've never heard of that movie.
But didn't Johnny Depp play like a writer in a movie? Anyways.
Yeah, the Ninth Gate or something. Oh, is that like what it was? Yeah, yeah, some horror movie. I've never seen it.
Okay, well, how many ones have you? You've gotten three and I've gotten two.
No. We're tied at two. I got one wrong and two right. You got one wrong and two right. We're tied.
Yeah, but you're going to get this one.
If I do.
You're going to get this one. Oh, wait. One. Yeah, I got two. You didn't give it to me for a fan.
Yeah, you got two out of four. All right, this is my chance to win it.
Who directed
to win it.
Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, and The Hills Have Eyes?
Oh, God. Who is it?
Damn it.
Who is it?
Wait.
Oh. Wes.
It's on the tip of your tongue.
Wes Craven.
Oh, wow. And what did the audience do? That's what I thought. Yeah, that's right. Your favorite winner, Sean, has won again because I stacked the deck, obviously.
Yep. Clearly wrong way.
Cheated.
Wrong way.
All right.
So what came out of this? Truman was really good. You fluked on winning the movie trivia game last week.
Yeah.
And Buble, there is a distinction between Buble.
And you like limes. The lime flavor.
I do like the lime.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
I'll never drink that shit again, though, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, man. We didn't have to call anybody today. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
If you believe in bunnies.
And if you don't.
If you don't, well,
hopefully your parents do.
Yeah. They've been lying to you because they exist. All right. Love you, Sean.
Love you too, buddy.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.